Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to the show. Today we're talking about minimalists. Yep, the cheap people them. Nah, I'm just joking. After a number of conversations with my yoga instructor, Ariel, who is a minimalist, I actually found the beauty and freedom of it. I'm still not giving up my Range Rover, but the fancy car mats gotta go. Minimalists, maximizing the minimum. Derek, we're talking about minimalists, maximizing the minimum. We decided to bring my yoga instructor, Ariel, on the show to provide some insight because she is an active minimalist. For a brother like yourself, that I consider to be a penny watcher, or should I say watches every penny like a hawk, why did you agree to do this show today?
Now, Sean, you know, I like trying to make my pennies turn to dollars, so I'm always talking about minimizing debt, okay? And when you told me about it, I was so intrigued to hear what Ariel had to tell us about minimalism.
Okay, well, you know, I know you like to turn pennies into dollars, but I don't think that's going to be Ariel's job today, but I'm sure she's going to help us tell us some cool things about minimalism. So, Matt, take us to commercial.
Thank you, Sean. This sponsorship break is brought to you by Clean. Clean is a financial literacy program designed to educate youth in a fun and interactive way through class lessons, workshops, and web seminars. To bring it to a school or organization near you, please visit www.financiallyclean.com.
Hey, I'm Sean Linda.
And I'm Dion Nichols, the lady with the history, the stats, and the cold hard facts.
And we're from the podcast Two Black Guys with Good Credit.
And by popular demand, we are bringing you 10 free financial literacy workshops.
Did you say free?
I said free, Sean.
Well, if the lady with the facts says it's free, then it's free. That's a fact.
Every Wednesday from 6 to 8 in Brooklyn.
What day is it? When is it starting, Dion?
October 17th to December 19th.
Just before the holidays.
That's right. So don't waste any time. RSVP at getfinanciallyclean.splashthat.com.
We're going to be teaching you how to leverage credit,
graduate with minimal debt,
become a landlord,
transition from consumer to supplier,
make a dollar work three times harder,
and overall build generational wealth.
That's right, people. So once again, RSVP at getfinanciallyclean.splashthat.com. See you there, or as they say in the 80s, be square.
Oh, Sean. Peace, love, and finance. Black
guys. Welcome back to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. Well, today, like I said, we have one of my favorite people, Ariel, my yoga instructor, actually the person that my first yoga instructor ever.
Welcome.
Namaste.
Namaste.
So I guess before we get into this whole minimalism thing, Ariel, just like give us our listeners a little bit, share a little bit about yourself.
Hello, listeners. I'm so excited to be on this show. I've been listening to it for months and it has provided so much inspiration for me on my debt-free journey. So my history is first as an actor. I had a pretty successful acting career for like 2 years. I was on The Sopranos and stuff, and then I realized...
I know you from The Sopranos. I actually... Okay. Now that you mention that, oh my God, I do know you from The Sopranos.
Yes. I had... My character had a pretty tragic demise.
Yes.
And I felt... I kind of fell into Hollywood really quickly and got everything you would think you want and realized it was not what I wanted. So I retired when I was about 21 from acting. And then a chunk of years went by, and I actually published a book about self-realization and dating. A friend and I co-wrote it called Smitten: The Way of the Brilliant Flirt. It's really about self-realization. And at that time, I was very much getting into yoga and meditation. And for the past 7 years, I've built a full-time career as a yoga meditation teacher, trauma resolution specialist here in New York City.
Wow. Well, as we do every show, we have the lovely Dion, the lady with the hard cold facts and stats, here to break it down to us. What did you find out about minimalism, Miss Dion?
Minimalism, really and truly, you'll find mentions of it throughout history. Many religious groups, from Buddhism to Christianity, have some mention of denouncing possessions, you know, to gain spiritual focus or wisdom. Some more extreme examples are the Buddhist monks and Catholic nuns, for example. But the term minimalism really became popular in the 50s and 60s for simplistic trends in at first in music and then in art and design. Then home and architecture. Then with the advent of mass production, which led to consumerism on overdrive, that's when millions and millions of people actually started realizing, you know, from a personal perspective, less is more. So here we are.
I'm always learning so much. That leads me to a question, and Ariel, you have to excuse my ignorance on this one, but what exactly is minimalism? I thought for some reason it was about cleaning your house and avoiding becoming a hoarder or something.
Such a good question. I actually pulled a quote from the Minimalist website to answer this, and I'll answer it in my own way too, but I do love this quote from the two guys who created a documentary called The Minimalists, and they say, "Minimalism is a tool to rid yourself of life's excess in favor of focusing on what's important, so you can find happiness, fulfillment, and freedom." And for me, I would say I practice minimalism. I wouldn't fully identify as a minimalist, but I have used minimalism as a tool to get rid of the stuff that has blocked not just my happiness, but also my financial well-being. So about a year ago, I had over $36,000 in debt. And I was, so I had over $36,000 in debt, and I actually started by using minimalism and set out on a plan and got rid of that 36 grand in debt within 10 months.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and as a yoga and meditation teacher, it was actually pretty significant. Like, I really had to focus, but ideas around minimalism are what got that started for me and also made it possible to find enjoyment, even though I was doing many, many less of the things that I used to do to have pleasure in my life.
Wow. So we'll definitely have to go back into that, because that was a lot you just gave us. That's good.
So I guess your inspiration came with, like, you know, I got all this debt. I just need to clear it out and figure out a way that makes it work for me and how to do it. You know, many people have tried. And, you know, and honestly, many have succeeded. I'm sure a lot has failed as well. So your way was saying this was just your way of figuring out how to reduce your debt.
Well, I really loved that introduction by Dion, because also I think for the past 7 years, and partly coming off being an actor and coming out of my 20s in New York City, where I was very much raised on, like, Sex in the City and thinking I should be having $16 cocktails. But I think I was, we all are conditioned in some way to think that success and fun is reflected in the things you buy and the experiences you have that cost money. And so coming out of my 20s and feeling like I had a lot of experiences, but they were kind of hollow, and I was looking for more meaning. That's when I got much more deeply into meditation and yoga and realizing that the joy I experience is actually what's coming out of me, not what I'm extracting from things things in the world. And when, as I started to learn to apply that joy to more and more things, as simple as sitting on a park bench with a cup of coffee and a friend, I realized how little I needed. And when you start to get excited about how little you need and finding that joy from the inside, that's where it really applies to taking much better care of your finances. So minimalism tripped into my desire to get out of debt and proved to be an amazing tool to help me do that really quickly.
Well, we are on a finance show, so although I mean, it's really getting deep here, let's I know people are listening. Okay, how does this do with money and finance? So, because to me, the perception of minimalism before I spoke with you, Ariel, was always about, you know, cheap people. And I kind of would like avoid cheap people like the plague. But when speaking with you, I see it as a lifestyle change or like more or less getting control of your finances. Can you kind of, you know, tell us more about that as far as like get away from the myth of everybody listening to the show thinking about minimalists are cheap. Don't go out to eat with them. Don't hang out with them because you're going to be eating bean pies and drinking tap water.
Yes, yes. I remember my dad, right after my mom and dad got divorced, literally used to water down the ketchup to make it last longer. And so...
Hey.
Sounds familiar with that.
That sort of behavior, I do not approve of that sort of behavior. And actually, I've kind of come to the word essentialism as opposed to minimalism for myself, because it's not so much about getting rid of everything for me. It's about getting down to essentials. So I do have a few $500 dresses in my closet that I love, probably similar to your range, that give me great joy. And also that I know when I am going out, I feel amazing in this beautiful, well-made dress. But what I have gotten rid of is all the like fast fashion, really cheap clothing, cheap material, probably made in environments where people aren't treated great or compensated well.
So I won't find Zara in your wardrobe at all. I won't see Zara or Gap.
Zara's.
I think it's pronounced Zara.
Zara's out.
H&M, not there.
No, definitely no more H&M. No, but you know what I do, because I've been on my debt-free journey and needed to be super frugal still. I go to, in New York City, there's amazing secondhand shops for designer clothes.
We call that vintage.
Yeah, so vintage, but some of them aren't even that vintage. They might be from last season, but what was once a $1,000 dress, you might get for $200. So I find workarounds to get the quality of clothing I want, not at the same price.
Well, you look fashionably fantastic here. I wouldn't take you as a minimalist right now.
So going on with this, I was wondering how did minimalism go for you from downsizing your possessions to finances? I know you have a benefit for both, but which one was the main driver there?
Well, I knew I wanted to get out of debt. And I really didn't know how. And I think one thing that a lot of people don't understand, and this is why this show is actually so amazing, is like, I never learned how to get out of debt. And if anything, I would say I grew up with a ton of messages that it would be a man that would manage my money ultimately, or would manage money for both of us. And so I didn't know how to budget, and I didn't know how to consciously take on that debt. What happened was I was looking at minimalist YouTube videos, and I came upon a young woman who was on the Dave Ramsey plan, and she was talking about waitressing at night to make this extra money and eating peanut butter sandwiches to save money. And there was something so young and fresh and vibrant about her, and yet so hardcore about her approach to getting out of debt. And she really inspired me to look more deeply into it and to do the learning to find out how do I budget, and literally how can I get half of my money going towards this debt instead of it disappearing and me not knowing where it's going. So budgeting has been essential, along with my kind of essentializing of the little money I had left over to spend on things that just give me pleasure.
So how did going through the practice of minimalism affect the other areas of your life, career, relationship, family? How did those things make an impact?
Well, it's been interesting. There's definitely some friends I have that the friendship is dependent on spending together. And that's what we've always done, from trips to dinners out and stuff. So it kind of shows you who your friends are that just you can have really simple experiences with and have a high quality encounter without much. and who your friendships are that are based on like fun, flavorful engagement with the world. And I really don't judge it. And also, like, I value my possessions that I love, and I value them even more now that I've gotten rid of the excess. So I'm not trying to get down to zero, and I'm also not trying to edit out all the amazing experiences I can have with travel, day trips, or bigger vacations. But I think what it does is it really essentializes who the people are who you have a deep, heartfelt connection to, who you can have like a really engaging, fun time with very little. And it makes that super obvious. I'm also sober, so that it's the same thing happens with that. If you can't drink with someone, are you still connected? It's pretty intense how much reality smacks you in the face when you're sober.
So I see being a minimalist lifestyle isn't about fitting all your worldly possessions into a single backpack. It's about cleaning the clutter from your life and adjusting your mindset so you can live with more purpose and peace. So I can see how yoga prepared you mentally for this transition. Do you agree?
I absolutely agree. And there's this phrase that I think might be really helpful for people to think about, which is hedonic adaptation. It's also called the hedonic treadmill. And this is from Wikipedia, is the observed tendency of humans to quickly return to a relatively stable level of happiness despite major positive or negative events or life changes. So yoga and meditation teaches you how to be incredibly present. And when you're present, you find your baseline of how you relate to the world. And there's actually been an amazing study that realized that people who became paraplegic, basically lost movement from the neck down, within 2 years went back to the same level of joy that they were at before that. So it's really not so much what happens to us that gives us joy. It's that baseline within us. And yoga and meditation helps you connect to that feeling of presence that's just like, whoa, it's amazing to be alive.
Well, let me go a little deeper, because I know a lot of these bankers and finance guys are listening to the show, and I come from that background, like, yeah, wah, 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 whatever. So let me tell you guys, Ariel works with finance guys. She works with, who do you work with again, Ariel? You work with brokers, you work with traders, and they hire her to help them in this meditation process. So that being said, since this is a finance show, as I always say, do you see this helping as far as finance and budgeting and achieving wealth? Do you see the connection with all of it?
Absolutely. So here's the thing. Like, we are all incarnated in human bodies participating in the game of life. And because we're participating in the game of life, it's really fun to go big, to like fall in love and get your heart broken, get rich, then get broke, lose something, gain something. So what I find is when you get your baseline of presence and well-being, you actually are free to play the game of life even more. When you're super attached and desperate around making money, around security, it's actually harder to take the risks and make the moves to move out of your comfort zone to make new things happen. So what I find is there's a level of freedom, and my income has increased exponentially.
As a minimalist.
Yes. Because I've gone down to the essentials. And also, I don't party with people who are halfway there or who aren't going to pay me fully well. Like, it's just not worth it to me. I do what's essential to me, and I don't do what's not essential to me.
So you value your time.
And you really know who you are. So when you know who you are and where you're going, the things that don't align fall out.
Absolutely. Exactly. So I think anyone who gets into budgeting and seriously wants to get out of debt, they're going to find they automatically start getting rid of things. You'll just find you're like, that doesn't fit in my space anymore. Like, because you can't self-realize in one category and not self-realize in the other categories.
Well said. Mm.
It's all interconnected.
Wow. So many bombs, Ariel, you dropped today. Matt, drop a couple bombs. Yeah, you're enlightening us. I love this show. I love how you're bringing in the whole meditation. As you know, I'm a huge fan of yoga as well, and just hold the minimalism. So people, dig deep in your pockets. Think about what you need to get rid of. Think about what you need to keep. Ariel's now going to tell us more. Stay tuned. Matt, take us to commercial.
This commercial break is brought to you by Canvas Malibu. Canvas Malibu is a boutique and contemporary art gallery in Malibu, California. At Canvas Malibu, it starts with art, and their curated offering of shoes, apparel, accessories, and art are a definite must-see. Canvas Malibu is located in the Malibu Country Mart, or online at canvasmalibu.com.
Welcome back to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. We have our lovely guest today, Ariel, on the show. It's been interesting. Okay, Ariel, here we go. Tell me, what does it do? What does one have to do to become a minimalist? Can you kind of walk us through or namaste us through this process, please?
Yes, I would be happy to om you through the process.
Oh, there you go.
First of all, I encourage everyone to think of, instead of getting rid of things, moving towards what's essential. Uh-huh. Yeah, so look around your physical space, look at items, and this is very much like KonMari style, the life-changing magic of tidying up. Look around your space and look at the things that bring you real joy, that when you see them, like a picture of my niece makes my heart expand, versus a little bowl of broken bobby pins really bums me. So look around your space, and even something like, I used to have a lot of shoes, like high heels, but some would kind of hurt my feet. Why am I keeping these shoes in my life?
You gotta wait. So you're not gonna be that girl walking down the street with the ankles breaking and rolling. You're not that girl.
Only stable high heels. Only good quality stable high heels.
No matter how gorgeous you look in them, they gotta go.
I need both. I need it to be gorgeous and I need it to be stable and comfortable.
But there's some women that just have gorgeous, don't care about stable and comfortable.
I kind of respect that approach, but ideally you're only taking cabs and you're sitting for most of the night if that's what's happening.
So keep two pairs of shoes and throw the rest away.
Yeah, and you're not on your, if you're on your debt-free journey, you can't take that many cabs. So
no,
you got to split the difference. But look around your space and really see what is nourishing you. And also, if you were to imagine the life you want to be living 1 year from now, look at your items and see, do those items fit into who I want to be and the life I want to be living 1 year from now? So I live here in New York, and in my debt-free journey, like I said, it took me 10 months to pay off $36,000 in debt, which rocked my own world. I didn't know I could do it that fast. I actually moved during that time, and part of the reason I moved is I had been imagining, what is the home I really want to live in? And when I thought deeply about it, it was very different from the home I did live in, and a lot of the items that were in my space were relics of the past, things people had given to me, things like from old relationships. And so look around and see how your body feels when you look at the stuff around you.
And I remember you telling me you got rid of the boyfriend memorabilia.
The boyfriend box. I did have a boyfriend box with all my boyfriend memorabilia in it. They were all together in there, shut up in this box in my closet. I didn't even open it. I just took it, I put it out in the garbage, and I walked away.
So all of Ariel X's, you guys are like really part of the past. All the little memories that you thought she had of you.
Yeah.
They're with New York Sanitation right now.
Yep. Outside.
So give us another example. I just want to, for the listeners to understand, like, just give us a few examples of, like, when you said you were getting rid of a number of items, how many were you actually getting rid of, like, daily?
Like I said, I started at 5, then I went up to 27 a day, and then...
Wow.
I just went past that. I just like hauled and went past that. I probably got rid of...
You had a lot of stuff.
Like over 1,000 items.
Where did you live, in a museum?
No, you would be surprised. I lived in a studio apartment here in Brooklyn, and it looks like I had some things, but you would be surprised how many things you have. But this is old papers, like weird old bank papers you don't need. Yeah.
30 plastic bags that you keep after you go to the grocery store.
So give us an example of a few things you got rid of, like that people can get rid of, like in off the top of your head, what would you suggest generally what people can get rid of?
It's very easy to go in your closet and pull clothes that you literally don't wear or don't fit you well, or you don't like how the fabrics feel.
Mm-hmm. That one with the ripped zipper, the button falling off, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you kind of compromise and decide it's worth something. Like I grew up with not a ton of money in my family. So I have a little bit of that. I want to cling to things because they're worth something. And to really look objectively and be like, is this moving me forward towards the life I want to live? If it's not, get rid of it. Also, old kitchen items. A lot of us have a lot of utensils we don't actually use. You can tell because they have a sticky film over them. And you might aspire to be a great cook one day and use something like an egg yolk brush. But if you haven't yet, you're probably not going to.
just to add on there, Ariel, there are, on average, in an American's home, 300,000 items, just to put things into perspective. They said the average size of the American home has now nearly tripled in size over the past 50 years just to house these things. And still, I think this is what's fascinating, one out of every 10 Americans still rents offsite storage. It's the fastest growing segment of the commercial real estate industry over the past four decades.
I don't even get that. People that are listening that have their stuff in storage, like, to me, if you have your stuff in storage and your stuff costs less than your storage fee, I don't know why people...
That's why Storage Wars is still on TV.
And it's worth less than what it would cost them to buy the thing brand new, but they put it in storage.
Well, I think that people, you know, this throws me back into the idea of yoga philosophy. People are looking for a sense of identity through the things they own. And having a lot of things actually makes you feel like you exist. And so it is an existential experience to, if I take away all these tokens that show me my history, what is my existence then? And I think that's where really connecting to your physical body, to your breath, finding enjoyment in just like being alive and your human connections helps you let go of that junk, so we aren't just storing stuff.
Mm-hmm. So what was one of the hardest things to let go of? Something that you knew you just had to get rid of, but you didn't want to? Maybe the boyfriend box or something.
That was hard, but it felt really good.
Shout out to all those women out there. They're loving this, man.
What pops into my mind is I had this really cute little green love seat that I had bought actually secondhand, but it was beat up and it was musty. And it was one of those items that it was a treasure when I found it. So when I found it, it was really important and special, and it served me really well for 5 years. 5 years later, it was pretty beat up and I didn't need it anymore, but I was still attached to how I felt when I originally got it. So that was really hard to accept, that relationship to that item had changed, and take the behavior of getting rid of it that reflected my updated relationship to it. I was like attached to the memory of what it meant. It's the process of updating the reality around you with the reality of.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Your authentic values. And that's something that's actually really scary for a lot of people to take on regarding their physical health or their environment or their finances. So sometimes you do have to sit a really long time with an item to realize you can let it go. Or sometimes you put it out in the hall for a few days and then finally you're ready to let it go.
Okay. So you can ease into it.
Yeah. I could see myself staring at some of this stuff, not wanting to throw it away. How's a typical day start? you know, someone that wants to get started throwing a couple things away or downsizing, how would that start off?
Well, what I do is I get up, I have a lot of water because it's good for you, and a little bit of coffee, and then I sit down with my goals journal, and every single morning I write down my top 10 goals. And I allow them to change day by day. So it's not that I'm attached to yesterday's goals. And after you've done this for about a month, you'll find the patterns fall into place. So every day I wind up writing, my body feels healthy, fit, and vital, alive. I feel joy in my body, and my choices in terms of how I move around serve my vitality and health. Every day I write down, my home is clean, organized. I know where to find things. And then I have also professional goals. So I really do start every single morning setting my intention. And when you set your intention, because your mind is like a dog. It's like you can train your mind to do crazy things, or you can not train your mind and it's going to run around and be chaotic and chase pleasure. Or you can train your mind to focus on the life you want to create. And when you give it that focus, kind of like how dogs, when you train them really well, can do amazing things. They can run the Iditarod. You can create amazing things when you choose to do that focus based on your values first thing in the morning. So your listeners have a huge variety of backgrounds and needs and values, and it's most important that you connect to your values each morning.
Any downsides to this? Any trade, anything that you were like, that was hard? Any pitfalls or anything like that that you found through this journey?
Yeah. I think, like, I love things, and I love experiences. And to get out of debt as quickly as I did have to stop doing things that are really fun or not do them as much. And it's kind of like I had to stop decorating the house so that I could fix the foundation. And in doing that, I missed decorating the house. So I really hope. But it's really important that I fix the foundation.
So no Christmas tree at your house.
No. Well, no. I got my mom a Christmas tree, though. I carried it on my head for her because I wanted to save her the money, a cab. So I literally just carried it on my head.
Oh, you actually carried it on your
head? Wow.
Yeah, for 9 blocks. It was. That's what a headstand in yoga will train you to be able to do.
So have you been able to find a support circle or a group of like-minded people in your area? I know you talked about being able to do certain things with certain friends. So does that exist where you are? Can other people reach out to that support group? Do you know if things like that are around the country people can join?
Well, because I have such a wide network as a yoga teacher here in New York City, and I talk a lot about what I'm up to, I find that I gain community just in doing that. And I have a variety of kind of clubs and circles, a book club and a seasonal circle that meets in the park. And so there are other people in my life that I think this is a big movement that's happening in our culture. It's kind of a response to all the consumerism and realizing like, hey, wait, I'm not as happy as this is supposed to make me. So it's definitely in the air. I find most of my support through online communities, though, through like listening to The Minimalists, or I love Mr. Money Mustache's website. It's really funny. And just looking things up on YouTube and seeing what other people are up to, because sometimes I do feel a little bit left out of like the life I was living in New York City. And I hope to integrate more pleasure back in terms of experience, not in terms of stuff. As my finances are now moving quickly into the surplus since I got my budget under control. And once those stabilize more, then I hope to have a bigger fund. Fund with a capital fund.
Hey, hey. Fun fund. Yep.
I was also thinking about people with kids. You must need a support system there as well. I'm sure that's crucial. They were saying that 3.1% of the world's children live in America, and they own 40% of the toys consumed globally. Then they also said, for example, shopping malls outnumber high schools. Wow. 93% of teenage girls rank shopping as their favorite pastime. And that came from a study from Affluenza.
That's eye-opening.
More malls in high schools? I didn't even know that. That's crazy.
Well, yeah, and there's a deeper thing here about, for instance, young women learning their value beyond their appearance. And that's been a huge journey for me. And part of getting on my debt-free journey and getting my money under control, it's changed a lot where I feel my sense of value from. And I think one thing that I used to do more was objectify men for their finances and for the fact that I thought I needed them for me to be stable. And going on this journey and learning and self-realizing about my finances has allowed me to be less objectifying of men, so I can see them more evenly, because I don't...
So you
I don't,
can date a broke brother now.
There you go. Find that cheap
That's
man.
What. That's what.
I like the fiscally responsible.
I've never heard a woman say I can date a broke brother. So I just wanted to make that, see if that, if I was hit by a, if this was like some kind of special person, a unicorn. I thought I was sitting beside a unicorn.
I can be very good friends with a broke man.
They make great friends. They have so much free time.
So true, Dion. Yeah.
Are there guidelines that you follow? Like, I know some vegans have strict diets or religious have rules. Do you practice a minimum? Do you or the practice of minimalism have a strict set of rules or guidelines that need to be followed?
Definitely not. Like I said, I think of what I do more as essentialism, and also it's a process for me. I've been really into this for the past year, and I am not committed to trying to get down to nothing. I'm committed to give myself everything I truly value. So every single day, I am reconnecting with what do I authentically value today. And that might change from day to day. So I'm not going to adhere to something that's written in a book or written on a website over my own authentic intuition and value system.
But switching gears for a minute, you mentioned some of your financial endeavors. And here on Two Black Guys with Good Credit, we talk about concepts like budgeting. And you've spoken a little bit about that. But I'm wondering, were you a budgeter before this change in your lifestyle?
Not in the slightest. I've always been a little bit of a hustler with money. Like, my first job was washing dishes when I was 14. So I've always been a really hard worker, but I never understood the concept of budgeting. And it was a really uncomfortable learning curve for me, especially to realize budgeting equals freedom. It's not a punishment. It's a portal to freedom.
Say that again, Ariel. I think that was a very, very powerful and uplifting statement. What a shift in mindset.
Budgeting is not a punishment. It's a portal. It's the way through to freedom to create the life you really want to live. It really, really is. And also to shape professionally what you want to do. Now I have extra money to invest in the projects I want to create that I didn't have before because it was disappearing who knows where.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, let me just say this. You know, I saved this question for the last part of this section because I really wanted it's my favorite part of what I've learned through this whole thing with you, that you were able to pay off $36,000 in debt. And everybody's listening to the show will be like, okay, great for Ariel. Like, how did you do it? How can our listeners start to do it? And, you know, it even brings me back to the point when we had lunch to discuss the show. Like, you showed up with these envelopes at the end of the lunch. I mean, the lunch was like less than $20, and you had your envelope sectioned out, and you were like, Sean, I can cover this part of the bill or this tip with this envelope that came out, and it was titled. So I know that some of you have the tricks to your trade. So share with us, you know, a few other ones that listeners can leave this phone and be like, yeah, I can get rid of $36,000 in 10 months as well. Because like you said, you know, I don't know your salary, but I think typical American salary was nothing exceptional, and your expenses probably were typical New York's expenses that we all have. So just kind of take us through how it was done and how people can start their own journey of financial freedom.
Yeah, so first you need to write down all your non-negotiable expenses for your survival, your rent or your mortgage, groceries, which is different from dining out budget, your utilities, your phone, the basics. Those, that money you have to make. And then question those. So I reduced my phone bill from $90 to $40 by changing carriers. Like, so by actually really questioning those expenses, do I need to spend this much on this? You can usually reduce those. Then you start taking the categories, what are they called? Incidentals, that are more up in the air, and you set a realistic budget around that. So I'm around the city all the time. I love stopping for a cup of coffee between teaching yoga. That's important to me, but I can't spend $100 a month on coffee while I'm on my debt-free journey. So I budgeted it to $40, and like Sean said, I had an envelope that I put that $40 cash in. So when that $40 is out, it's over. And apparently when you spend with cash, you feel the pain of it leaving you, and so you spend less money. So for things like groceries, dining out, and coffee, I used cash, and I had a fund budget of $40 a month. I used cash so that less would go out. Then for other things, like things for my business, I just tried to keep it as essential as possible. And then you take everything else, all the rest of the income that you have after covering the essentials that you need to be, you know, happy. I still need to go out a couple times a month to dinner with friends. You take all the extra money and throw it at debt. And what I saw was the first month, it was about $700. And by the last month, it was $6,500. So, partly I had reduced my expenses, but largely my level of focus had increased my income and opportunities. So because I was so focused, more opportunities came to me. I took action on things I wanted to do professionally. So I had a lot more money coming.
So you actually made more money by becoming a minimalist.
Yeah, because you're so clear about what your values are. And also when you really want to get out of debt, you'll sell stuff, you'll take on new jobs, you'll take on risky, as long as they're not financially risky, but bold new projects that you've been wanting to do.
Like what?
Like I had been wanting to do this online business of yoga course that I had conceptualized literally years ago. And because I knew I wanted to get out of debt, I'm like, Ariel, just write that email, promote the course and see what happens next. And immediately it sold out. So the next month I taught it and I had an extra $2,000 income.
So you think if you would never became a minimalist, that would never been part, that income would never have happened.
Wouldn't have been motivated to make that happen if I wasn't as consciously on my financial freedom journey, which involved minimalism.
And I so agree with what you're saying. Like budgeting does open your eyes to opportunity. People don't see that. Like you just said earlier, like you think budgeting is a punishment, but it's actually a portal to freedom. And it really was a freedom. And when you talk about the $6,500 that you made in the last month that you're able to save, that didn't just come from cutting back. Because some people may be like, I don't even make $6,500 a month. But what you're talking about is really it opened doors to other opportunities, other revenue streams, which then gave you that accumulation of $6,500. Which is a truly amazing thing because you opened up other doors by closing down those cluttered doors.
Yeah, and also for all the listeners out there, you know when you're functioning in a work environment that's really compromising your values. And you're like, the worth of my work is more than this. And sometimes you can't change that this month. And I really sympathize with people who have family and are in challenging situations. I know making that shift. I'm a single woman here in New York City, so I can pivot much more quickly. But when you start to feel like this is deeply compromising my values and the future I want to create for myself, you stop making those compromises and you commit inside yourself in a way that you don't turn your back on yourself. And that's what starts, then providence moves, then other opportunities come up and you start to move towards them.
Wow.
You got me fired up. Thank I'm ready to clean my house.
Wow. Yeah, call me Mr. Clean. With that being said, people, Ariel, once again, it's exciting. I'm glad everybody can hear what we have to say. It's two black guys with good credit. We're maximizing the minimum. Minimalist is what we're talking about, people. Matt, take us to commercial.
Thank you, Sean. This sponsorship break is brought to you by Clean. Clean is a financial literacy program designed to educate youth in a fun and interactive way through class lessons, workshops, and web seminars. To bring it to a school or organization near you, please visit www.financiallyclean.com.
Welcome back to Two Black Guys with Good Credit. We're being minimalist today, people. We're maximizing the minimum, and it's been a great journey. I'm already looking through my kitchen and looking at all the egg wipers and beaters and plates and stuff that mama done left me. I'm getting rid of the, Dion, I'm getting rid of that pink flamingo. It's going out the door. The pink statue's going out.
Not the pink flamingo.
It's getting up for, I don't even know how I got this pink flamingo. That's why it's going for, it's going to be for sale. No attachment to it at all. Dion, take us through this round.
All right, Ariel. So it's speed round time. This is the final segment where we're going to go through the rules of living with less, and you'll give us your spin on them and any financial tips that may be applicable to that rule. If you can't put the spin on it, the two black guys will. And the first rule is...
Evaluate your space and examine your priorities.
Evaluate your space and examine your priorities. Yes, absolutely. Question everything. And if your priorities don't resonate with your authentic inner feelings of heck yes, then change them and adapt your choices, your space, and your tomorrow accordingly.
Two, declutter every area of your home.
Absolutely, especially the weird things underneath your bathroom cabinet.
Yes. Yes. Just thinking that.
By going through, you're going to weed out so much of the past that you didn't even want to carry forward and you didn't even know you were lugging around with you. So one section at a time, go through your home, declutter, and have fun with it. You might have a bonfire.
Number three, think before you buy new things.
Yes, you must think before you buy new things. And in particular, think, does this fit into the future life I want to create for myself? And not just would I look cute in this jacket this winter? It's, does this purchase lead me to the level of financial freedom and independence that I want to have as I move into the later parts of my life?
Okay, that leads us to number four, seek high quality stuff.
I think this is so important because when you seek high quality stuff, you're choosing to see yourself as high quality. And when, even if you have low self-worth, and so many of us do because of the way we grew up and all kinds of reasons, by making those little conscious choices that reflect your value back to yourself, you're going to start to feel more valuable and treat yourself better. I hope.
Again, I love that.
Yeah. Five, be grateful for what you have.
100%. 100%. I mean, like, I literally couldn't imagine for anything more. I have an amazing family. I have a beautiful job. I want to keep growing my career. But when I stop and take a deep breath and I'm like, I'm hanging out with Sean Linda in his beautiful kitchen in Brooklyn, talking to Derek and Dion about minimalism and financial health, what more could we want? This is the best.
Number six, purge on a regular basis.
That I do.
That's for Ariel, Sean.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we haven't talked a lot about like fitness lately, but it's really detox. So regularly you want to do things that detox. You want to sweat, you want to move, and you want to get rid of the things that are blockages to health in your body, just like you want to get rid of things that are the blockages to who you want to be tomorrow in your space. So I think that regular maintenance also helps make it less overwhelming.
Let go of the guilt.
Which guilt?
The guilt of holding on, I guess. The guilt of not letting that pink flamingo go.
Yeah, yeah. I would say examine the guilt because there's a reason you have the guilt. So examine if you have guilt or shame or fear or attachment to items, drop down way down beneath it and be like, what is this really rooted in? And lovingly look at why you're holding on and see if you can find a higher quality way to serve that need than by holding on to old stuff that doesn't actually fill the void you're trying to fill with it.
And eight, disassociate yourself from your material belongings.
Yeah, your value is intrinsic. Your value is in the fact that you're here and you exist, and it's not an accident. Everything else in your life is accessories. So accessories are fun, but when you dial into your inherent value and the value of the love you share with the people around you and your contributions to your community and the work that you do in the world, the stuff is just less it's less important. You just don't care as much when you regularly return to that.
Beautiful. Thank you. That is our speed round. Amazing.
Wow. Namaste, namaste, namaste. Like, what a great show. So interesting. So many things, so many takeaways. You know, I love bringing in the spiritual meditation, minimalist connection to people and understanding like the journey of building wealth and just finding all overall happiness. Thank you so much, Ariel, for sharing your wisdom with our listeners. Thank you.
I still have goosebumps. Really enjoyed having you.
Yay! Thank you.
And I usually don't do this, but I'm used to you ending all the classes and shows so through yoga. So I'm going to let you end today's show, Ariel. And please give the people your handles, ways in which to get in touch with you, you know, and so forth.
Yeah, yeah. If you do want to check me out on social media, it's Ariel Kiley, ArielKiley on Instagram and on Facebook. And my website's just arielkiley.me. So I do regularly publish like advice and ideas. And you can check me out on YouTube too. You can see my entire financial freedom journey and all my budgeting. Just search my name on YouTube. I tracked it all on YouTube. You can see the real numbers and everything. And the last thing I want to offer is there's this very famous Buddhist saying that is, don't mistake the finger pointing to the moon for the moon. And for all of you out there who are seeking advice on finances and on truth and on minimalism, maybe, ultimately what this means is there's so many pointers out there, but you need to dial into your own heart, your own gut, your own instincts about what you're moving towards in this life and what would truly serve your value system. And your value system is unique to you. So at the end of the day and at the beginning of the day, make your instincts your inner compass. And when your body says yes, that's a yes. And when it says, not for me, that's when it's time to keep walking. So trust you.
There you have it, people. Spoken from the yoga queen, Miss Ariel. Thanks again for being on the show. Matt, take us to commercial.
Black guys.
Hey, I'm Sean Linda.
And I'm Dion Nichols, the lady with the history, the stats, and the cold hard facts.
And we're from the podcast Two Black Guys with Good Credit.
And by popular demand, we are bringing you 10 free financial literacy workshops.
Did you say free?
I said free, Sean.
Well, if the lady with the facts says it's free, then it's free. That's a fact.
Every Wednesday from 6 to 8 in Brooklyn.
What day is it? When is it starting, Dion?
October 17th to December 19th.
Just before the holidays.
That's right. So don't waste any time. RSVP at getfinanciallyclean.splashthat.com.
We're going to be teaching you how to leverage credit,
graduate with minimal debt,
become a landlord,
transition from consumer to supplier,
make a dollar work three times harder,
and overall build generational wealth.
That's right, people. So once again, RSVP at getfinanciallyclean.splashthat.com. See you there, or as they say in the 80s, be square.
Oh, Sean. Peace, love, and finance.
Welcome back with Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. We're here talking about minimalism, maximizing the minimum, and we had our lovely guest, Ariel. What a show it was, I must say. It was a great show.
Oh, so great.
So, Dion, what are the parting words that you have for our people today?
Well, in terms of resources, if I had to give you one, theminimalist.com. So Joshua Fields Milburn and Ryan Nicodemus, they have helped over 20 million people live more meaningful lives through their website, their books, their podcast, their documentary. So definitely check them out. They've been all over the, you know, Wall Street Journal, Boston Globe, Time, ABC, you name it. So definitely authorities on the subject if you wanted somewhere to start. Other than that, please always remember to email us your questions to tbgwgc@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Two Black Guys Good Credit. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review to make it easier for others to find us. Like Stat317, who said, please keep it coming. The community needs this. Stories and experiences are outstanding. Thank you, Stat317. And you know I have a penchant for stats. So Thank you. I love the name. And with that said, my name is Dion Nichols. I'm the lady with the history, the stats, and the cold hard facts. Derek?
So today we've learned a lot. And among that, for the bottom line, there are many roads on the path to financial freedom. With minimalism, you can start clearing that path. Remember, everyone, when opportunity knocks, make sure you're there to answer the door. Sean?
My bottom line is find your happiness and in your journey through life experiences, and understand that, like Ariel threw throughout the show, you may think taking away may actually be a negative thing, but it actually can evolve into a positive thing where you can find opportunities and grow. So don't be scared of the minuses, because the two minuses lead to a plus. I'm Sean. See you next week. As I say every week, your money is your money. Keep it in your damn pocket.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.